everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I'm Kelly Alexa. And today on the show, I am joined by Dr. Delray Messer. And Delray is somebody who has been a new introduction in my life. I've known her for about probably 2 months at the time of this recording. And I met her through a business venture I have become involved in. And you'll learn more about that through this interview that is going to be focused more on the business topic side of things versus strictly health and wellness. But this woman is so going to inspire you and so going to motivate you in every way, both just, I'm just going to say in life, as somebody who's experienced a lot of hard knocks and disappointments and things that probably would have put a lot of people in a state of maybe depression and, you know, wanting to throw their hands up in the air and give up. But she has taken all of these unexpected twists and turns in her life, starting at a very young age, 17, 18, in her early teens, and all the way up till today. And she's just an extraordinary woman. She's an extraordinary businesswoman. She certainly is somebody who knows a lot about health and wellness, and I aspire to learn as much as she has, because she certainly is teaching me a lot and inspiring me to learn even more about nutrition, about how our bodies work, about how much nutrition, and I know that's a very broad word, but sometimes when we, as fitness fanatics, get into a groove, we focus more on cutting calories and working out versus what we can pour into ourselves, into our bodies as a temple from a nutritional perspective. And I've really learned a lot from Delray and also from my friend Bonnie Feaster, who's going to be interviewed on the show as well, about the impact of adding nutrition to your life, as opposed to just focusing on, you know, how can I cut calories? How can I eat less? How can I work out to burn the fat off? There's a bigger picture here. And again, this is much more of an interview where we're focusing on business and being empowered women and in strong, financial, independent, powerful women. I guarantee you will leave this interview fired up, because this is a woman who is just, I've got nothing but love for her, because she is a ball of positivity and love and knowledge. And she just has lit up my world, clearly. I've got a major like life woman crush on this woman for every reason. And I know that you're going to enjoy this interview, because everything she's saying, she's speaking from the heart. And I think she's her story and her background and what she's done with her life and her core values and what lead her is going to bring out the best in you, honestly. So just for context, again, as we really start kicking off this series where we're focusing on, or where I'm focusing on the show, interviewing really successful examples of women in business. The reason that we're doing this, obviously, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm somebody who has founded a successful startup, several of them. And I'm passionate about seeing women pursue their passion professionally. Why is that? For two reasons. I think it is the most amazing thing when you see a woman come alive when she pursues her passion and she just gets that sense of pride of like, wow, you know, what I love to do, what I was gifted with as far as talents and skills and expertise and what I've found a creative outlet in. People really appreciate that. They love it. I love seeing that fire come alive. But furthermore, from a health perspective, when we are working in dead-end jobs, when we are not paid what we're worth, and worse, when it's a combination of both of those things, when we're in a dead-end job or a job maybe that we're making good pay, but you know, we have to commute long hours, we don't get to see our family, we don't have any social life, that's no way to live. And when we have any combination of the above factors, our stress level is going to be exceptionally high. And that's going to make a huge negative impact on our health. So this is the context for why I'm launching this series on business and interviewing successful women in business to inspire all of you ladies who are listening to think about maybe potentially starting your own business, maybe pursuing a side hustle so you have multiple streams of income. Whatever it is that you can do, even if it's just moving your way up and being more proactive in the corporate America workspace, whatever it is that can help you gain independence and more strength from a financial perspective, that's what I'm all about, because that's going to make a direct impact on your health and your wellness and your fitness, and it certainly is going to make for a happier life. So sit back, enjoy this two-part episode with Dr. Delray Messer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Kelly O Show. I am so thrilled and seriously honored to have my guest on the show today. It is Dr. Delray, and she is a woman who has come into my life, and I can't even describe how much of an impact she's had. How long have we known each other so far, Delray?
A couple of months.
It feels like so much longer, and in a way, it feels like I met you a week ago. You'll learn about how we came to be besties, because I do call us besties, and so, you know, friends, soulmates forever. But she's such a light in my life. We're involved in a business together. She is my mentor, a true inspiration from both a health perspective and a business perspective. She's just a giver. You will absolutely want to tune into her on all of her social channels and follow her, and she will change your life. I just know from even if you just observe her, and again, both from a health perspective and a women in business perspective, she's truly, I'm going to sound very cheesy right now, she is a light to this world. Like, she's one of those people who is a giver. She is full of light and joy. She inspires me. She picks me up when I'm down. I can't say enough good things about her. Delray, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kelly. It's so good to be here.
I'm so thrilled to have you on. So I would love, whenever I have somebody on the show the first time, I always, you know, think of my audience, and I want to kind of give them context for the show. So this is going to be a two-part episode. I told you guys this in the intro. We're going to talk both about some health and wellness tips and tips for moms with kids and fitting and fitness. We're also going to talk about, you know, the business conversation and encouraging women to pursue businesses, whether it's a side hustle, starting your own business, and Delray and I are involved together in a business. She's going to have a lot of things to say about that I know are going to fire you up. But first, Delray, tell people what your background is. You're a former chiropractor. When did you first get into, you know, before you became a chiropractor, when did you first become interested in leading like a fit and healthy lifestyle? How did that end up with you becoming a chiropractor, and why did you end up leaving the chiropractic business?
I was not a naturally talented athlete, and I knew that in order to improve my performance, I was going to have to start eating healthier. A close family friend of my family's was a chiropractor, and he inspired me to start and challenged me to just start eating healthier to see what it would do in my athletic performance. And I realized that a lot of the principles that I had developed at a young age, and I was so fortunate enough to have incredible parents and a really great upbringing, because I remember the first track race that I ever ran. And in eighth grade, I was lapped twice by the first place runner. My dad was at the finish line and he had a tear in his eye and he goes, "You're going to be a state champion someday." And I kind of looked at him and laughed and like, people are leaving the stadium right now. I was just lapped twice. Like, what are you talking about? But in that moment, he taught me a couple of things that stuck with me the rest of my life. He taught me that you need to release yourself from the outcome, and just simply trying is the best that we can do every single day. And he also helped me to really enjoy the journey, because when he started to train me in running, he didn't start with a huge lofty goal. He started with really small goals, visualization, positive affirmations. And that really helped me to understand that when we have huge goals, we have to take it one day at a time and celebrate small wins along the way. Because I think a lot of times, especially as women, we get caught in comparison mode to someone else's story and journey being so far ahead of us. I've done that many times in my life, and all it did was paralyze me in fear. So when I started to think back to what I did in the past to develop a mindset that created huge results, not overnight, but years down the road, I realized I needed to stop overwhelming myself and take it one day at a time.
No kidding. I mean, in all of these lessons that I'm hearing you say, I have to believe, and I know I've seen you talk about this a lot, because you have 2 daughters?
I do.
And you're such, I love the positivity that you pour into them. And I just think about, like, I don't have kids of my own, but I just, when I think about what kids growing up today, and particularly, and of course they're going to be doing landscaping right outside my window. Every time I do a podcast, the landscapers come. Anyway, it's just too, it's like timing. It's perfect timing. I think about young girls and the peer pressure that they deal with. And then on top of that, you know, we're hearing all of this stuff, not only about how, because of the food that they're exposed to, and this is going to, we're going to come back to this potentially and talk about health and eating, what we pour into our bodies, the importance of clean nutrition. If we're not doing that, like, I've been learning how kids, because of the crappy foods they're eating with all of the antibiotics and hormones in it, like, parents, I don't think have been educated on a widespread enough basis to realize, like, that's why girls, when they're 9 or 10, are getting their periods and developing, you know, pubic hair and breasts. And I mean, when I was growing up, like, I didn't get my period till I was 17. Things are happening on such a different level. And then you add to that all of the media messages that they're exposed to with celebrities and eating disorders. It's such an intense time for young girls, and to be able to, you have such a positive influence. I see you on social, how you pour into them and you say, you know, weren't you talking about the other day that you have taught your young girls, and tell us how old they are, you've taught them about affirmations every day. You need to teach me about affirmations, because I need to work on that.
Yeah, absolutely. They are going to be 16 October 7th, and then my little one is 6. And that was a large part of my journey. My life has not gone according to plan, like a lot of other people's, but I feel like a lot of the really, really big, what I thought were mistakes in my life ended up being by far the biggest opportunity to grow my mind and leadership skills and the person that I am today, because it allowed me to develop character traits of grit and persistence and a desire, you know, to make an impact no matter what comes into our lives. And my older daughter, you know, I had her when I was 21, and growing up in a small town, it was extremely challenging. I mean, I've never shared as openly as I have recently about how devastated I felt, how guilty, how shamed, how disappointed, you know, how I felt like I disappointed my family. And, you know, such a small town community, it's just not what you do. And you're then a mistake. And I realized, you know, at that time, I gave myself a couple choices, and I chose to keep her because I just knew that it was going to be a huge blessing in my life and that I'd figure it out. And I think resourcefulness, when things happen to us, I think resourcefulness is one of the most underutilized skills, problem solving and finding solutions right away. And I decided I was going to go to graduate school. She was going to be 3 months old the first day that I started. So it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. And a crazy idea. People called me crazy. My parents were so worried. They were eight hours away. I had no family. And I remember being so overwhelmed. I mean, the first day of school, I had a stack of books in my passenger seat of my car, and I picked her up from daycare, but you know, she's going to be in daycare 12 hours a day. So the amount of guilt that I had about that was huge as well. And choosing a career versus staying at home like my mom did, that was a really, really tough decision for me. But I knew in my soul, like I had to do it because it was a career path that I absolutely wanted to be able to make an impact in prevention and health. And I remember driving in 494 traffic. It's an interstate in Minneapolis. And mind you, there's three lanes. And in my small town, literally, there's only a stop sign in the road. So I was bawling my eyes out. She's screaming in the back. And I'm like, what did you do? What did you do? You're taking out $100,000 plus in student loan debt, extra loans to be able to actually live, you know, to take care of her. You know, I was on WIC food stamps at that point trying to survive. And I just knew that I had to do it. I got a book in the mail from a mentor of mine called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And it changed my life, especially at that point. I have been doing personal development since fifth grade. I was listening to Tony Robbins, just trying to figure out how my mind could start thinking bigger than the small town that I was raised in, because I knew I wanted to do more. So
you have such a great story of rising above. And for everybody listening, I want you to know too that this is the God's honest truth. Right before we started calling or the call, before we were recording, I was telling Del Rey about a really bad day that I had yesterday. And the first thing that she said, and for those of you that have been tuning in, whether you're new or you've been tuning in and following me for a while and Fitfluential, you know that I've referenced that the past 2.5-3 years have been the worst of my life. And I'm trying to like rephrase it to stop focusing, because I realized I've spent a lot of time in woe is me land, a lot of time not in massive action, but in, oh my God, how can something else happen to me? And really, I don't think I realized how much I was probably waiting to be rescued. I was probably just waiting for somebody to come in and go, here I am. Here's your, you know, your good fairy, and I'm going to make it all go away. It doesn't work that way. But I was sharing with Del Rey right before we got on. I said, oh my God, my day with, and I was actually sharing a good point. But the first thing she said was, I have never been as humbled as I have been going through the times that I've been going through, even most recently. I am humbled to my core every day. I can't believe it's been so tough, but I'm not going to quit. And she said, you are going to develop such strong grit, perseverance, and you're going to grow so much through this. And instead of me being annoyed that you said that, I wasn't. Because you know how sometimes, like, when you go through tough times, people can say things to you and you go, oh my God. Like when I was going through my divorce, people would go, this is going to mean something someday. Or everything happens for a reason, which I do believe. But sometimes when people say things to you, you go, what the hell does that mean? And it doesn't comfort you. But that was absolutely so true. And when I hear everything you just said about, you know, getting pregnant at a young age and feeling that guilt and shame about choosing a career as a mom, you know, there's a lot of women out there that are on that same course of, you know, is this right for me? And women, the whole reason I started developing my course, women feel guilty for aspiring to earn a lot of money. Women feel guilty for, you know, doing something that puts their child in childcare. But I feel strongly that, you know what, you are preparing. Number one, you're setting a great example for your children by being strong and powerful and independent, not dependent, because I've seen far too many women who are dependent on, this is not about male bashing, but if you're completely dependent on another man, I've had so many women share their stories of, oh, everything was great, and then he left me for a 22-year-old, and I'm broke and I haven't worked for 15 years and I don't know what I'm going to do. Absolutely. So how did you, I mean, do you run into a lot of women in your personal life and in your business life where they come at you with that, where they're like, you know what, my husband takes care of all the money and that's fine and I'm good. And they just don't understand what it means to be strong financially and independent and be able to take care of yourself and your family on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. All the time. And I feel, you know, I've come to a place of zero judgment in my life. And I think it's because I've been judged so often that I lead with love and compassion. And I think the most beautiful thing that you can do is relate to another human and give them space to be able to choose what's truly right for them, what their passion is, what their soul is calling them to do. And there's not a right or wrong for anyone. And I think that's, if we can come to that place as women, it's why I am inspired by really successful women that are also humble, giving, have created abundance to be able to serve more on this planet. They solve big problems. They're all inclusive and welcoming. That's the type of role model that I, you know, that role model is who I looked for and who I aspire to be. And I think if we can get to that place, there's going to be so many of us that support each other no matter what we choose, because it's okay. If a mom wants to be a stay-at-home mom and she feels like that is absolutely her calling at this time in her life, I think it's so beautiful. It's one of the hardest jobs that I've ever done is to be a mom that was trying to balance both work and raising, especially my little one, and my older daughter in graduate school. You know, it was really hard, but I've realized that we can't necessarily say one is better than the other. It's just giving somebody the space to choose. However, I do believe that when you are a mom, a lot of times our identity becomes that. And that's where I kind of challenge women to say, is the overall happiness and fulfillment in the identity of being a mom? Because there can be a lot of fulfillment in that, but someday the kids will leave. And then women go through this phase of an identity crisis because now we weren't working on ourselves. We weren't personally growing and developing skills that someday we could use. You know, and I feel like that is where we can start thinking about, is there a purpose that's beyond really and transcends what we do? And I think that kind of identity is so important, because then when things change in our life, whether it's work, a relationship, all the things around us in our environment, they can change. But when we continue to grow as a person and develop the kind of skills necessary, you can have anything in front of you change in your environment and you're okay. And it's one of the things that I see the most is, you know, we call it the quarter life crisis, midlife crisis. People right now, they're so searching for so much meaning in our days because it's so chaotic. Our lives are so chaotic, so connected digitally, that it's very rare we get an opportunity to step back and say, who am I? What do I love? How do I want to grow as a woman so I can continue to feel purposeful in who I am versus what I do?
Oh my God. Mic drop right there. I was actually doing like the mic drop over here, and she can't see me on video right now. So I missed it. I had to tell you that I was doing the mic drop, but that's, you absolutely set the stage for where I want to go with this conversation next. And it's so true, because you take me back to when I made the decision to move from Chicago. So I was just a little bit south of you in cold Minnesota. I always tell people about being in Minnesota for a business meeting in May one year, and there was a blizzard. I mean, so your coldness up there is nothing compared to what I had in Chicago. But when I made the decision to move from Chicago, where I'd lived for 16 to 18 years, to Austin, Texas, I had more women private message me and say, oh, I wish I could do what you're doing. I wish I could just move where I want to. I wish, you know, oh my God. And I would say, why? I don't understand. Why can't you? Like, it wasn't that I was on Easy Street. I hadn't won $1 million. I wasn't like going to take a sabbatical and sit in the sun and do nothing. Like, it was still a hard, challenging business transition time for me. It was not an easy time at all. It was under false pretenses. But I had made the decision that I was tired of living in cold Chicago. I was tired of living somewhere that I hadn't really chosen. I chose it because I was, well, that's where my family lives. And that's how I chose it. And I stayed there because, well, I've always stayed here. And I stayed in the jobs that I was because, well, I never thought about what I wanted my life to look like. I never thought about how I wanted my days to look like. I never thought about the type of person that I wanted to be. I was just getting through the days. Mm-hmm. And that's no way to live. And so that first step of me going, I want to live where it's warm. I want to go down south. And more women, and when I would write back and I'd say, why can't you live where you want? Their immediate response, I don't have time. I have a job. I have kids. I understand all that. But, you know, if you really want to pursue something, and this is where I get passionate with women, is challenging them to go, think about what you really want. Don't just look at, well, you know, I don't have money. I hate my job, but it's a good job. So this is where I have to stay. Yep. Think about how you can create what you want. And that's a first step. But I want to rewind a little bit, because that's where we're going to end up, is getting there where we can talk about women and business, because that's a big part of this show. When you were talking about, you know, being 21, you just had a baby, you were feeling a lot of guilt and judgment, and you're starting school. I know what it's like, and some of the big changes in me came, again, out of the adversity that you know about, Del Rey, where I had the realization, and part of this was through talking with my therapist, of all the conditioning I'd gone through, and even conditioning I'd given myself, where I had convinced myself of the way people saw me. And I had become this raging people pleaser who desired acceptance and approval from everybody. You know that these tendencies still affect me today. I'm dealing with guilt feelings about, you know, my business transition, all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And so it was all of this conditioning and the way I thought people didn't approve of me, didn't like the way I dressed. And some of this was real. You know, people can, in your family, make you feel a certain way about yourself, and they had the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my mom would comment on, you know, my clothes and why are you wearing such a low cut top? And mm-hmm. Why don't you shorten your nails? She doesn't say this now, because I've actually had the guts to bring it up. But my question to you is, and it's taking me 5 minutes to get there, but trust me, I'll get there, Del Rey. That was the biggest change for me, was being able to break away and go, you know what? I am stronger and better, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm an amazing person, and I don't need to ask for permission or acceptance. I'm going to be who I am. And if you don't like my long nails or my high heels or my strong contour game for my makeup, like, that's on you. I'm going to live who I am. It took me a while to get there, to accept myself and start loving myself. How did you go from being 21, feeling guilty, feeling judged, probably insecure, you know, to being this strong, confident, very self-aware, full of self-love and love for others person that you are today? How did that start for you?
It's not easy. I think, you know, there's a couple of points, because this subject comes up all the time in other people's opinions. And, you know, I grew up in a place where it was highly valued. You know, I was told, I came out of the womb with an ambitious DNA. Like, I can't help that. And a really, really, really empathetic and compassionate heart for people. And so when that happens, that combination is really challenging, because when you do hear other people's opinions, when you want to make an impact or do big things, it can sting a little bit. I think that's actually okay to validate your feelings of feeling hurt by someone else's opinion. It's actually human nature. We're hardwired to connect with other humans, and we're hardwired to want to belong. And I feel like when we kind of use these words like, haters gonna hate, I'm gonna do my thing, I'm stronger than that, like, I am who I am, F you, you know, like, yeah. It's still not a good place to be. It's still not full development of, I believe, becoming a human with no judgment and empathy for all, because it's still them versus us. And so growing through that took time, a lot of time. And I realized that the more I had a chip on my shoulder about it, the more I realized that I was simply seeing a mirror reflection and hearing a mirror reflection of my biggest self-limiting beliefs about myself. Mm. And because no one can make you feel anything. No one can make you feel a certain way. You are absolutely responsible for your own feelings. It's just when you get to the point of being able to say, this is this human's perspective of something, whether it's me, whether it's the world, whether it's something that we don't agree upon, their upbringing, their exposure to the belief systems that they've had over their lifetime is why they came to that conclusion about either a judgment about yourself or something else. Mm-hmm. And who are we to say that that person may not awaken to a different mindset in the future? So instead of saying, you know, I want to cut this person out of my life. Sometimes that has to happen. Yeah. I believe naturally when you start to grow as a human, you don't have to make a big announcement about who's going to end up in your life or not. It just kind of naturally falls away. Like negativity naturally falls away. Other people's opinions naturally fall away because you start to rise and intentionally surround yourself with people that support a common mission and vision. Mm-hmm. And if that common mission and vision includes inclusivity for women, where you can have any hair color you want, you can have any skin color, you can have a nail color and length that you want, you can do whatever you want to your physical body as an expression of authenticity and I believe art, and not have judgment when you're in that space. So instead of trying to figure it out, I say, well, this human may be limited in their exposure to personal growth. And they might not be at the place that I'm at in my growth. And that's okay. So yeah. I don't take things personally. And I will say, too, the more that you live out character traits and core values that transcend just a profession or why you want people to like you, there are core values as humans that we share that are all encompassing, meaning integrity, trust, you know, self-worth, equal rights. Like all of these things are something that transcend judgment. And so I try to operate my life out of core values and compassion, empathy, love, giving back, service, all of these things. I don't really think another human could say anything bad about that. You know, so I try and live my life out of that and on the back end choose to have products, services, businesses that align with those core values, you know, and then if somebody has an opinion about what I do or how I dress or who I am or the fact that I am a mom with two daughters from two different dads now, then that's okay because this is how I'm living my life on purpose through my unique talents and gifts, trying to impact the world. And you can't have a bad opinion about that. So I'm okay with the other stuff. So I found that I start to attract really amazing humans, and you will too. When you can start, honestly, I believe it comes from this radical self-forgiveness. Radical self-forgiveness and forgiveness of others will always lead you to a place of unconditional love and empathy and compassion for other people. And once you live out of that space, it's very rare that you're gonna have an opinion that affects you, or maybe it will sting for a hot second, but you're able to move on because your purpose and your mission and your meaning on this planet, it just can't be stopped by a mere opinion. Like if that's true, then you need to check in with yourself and say, how important is who I'm becoming and what I want to do? How important is it to me? And that's why I choose to surround myself with a team of people that think that way as well.
What you just said there was so, it's such a perfect illustration. And I remember getting to that point because I've been, for better lack of a better word, I've been betrayed in my business life by some of the people I trusted the most and relied on the most. Mm-hmm. And wow, I spent a lot of time ruminating on that, a lot of time revisiting that, a lot of time bringing it up again and again and again. Because the truth is, it started with my ex-husband. There were just a lot of people who came in and out of my life, and well, they just shit on me, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And kind of walked on like, well, I don't give a shit. And I remember just the hurt. I can say that now comfortably, like my heart was broken by these people and it was hurt tremendously. But I spent a lot of time in anger and wanting to, I think I just wanted, I don't even know what I wanted from these people, but I kept hoping for some magical resolution of them acknowledging what they did. And I remember somebody, it was the first person that said it to me, it was about my ex-husband. They said, what is it that you want from him? And I said, I want him to acknowledge what he did. And they said, okay, so if he showed up at your house today and said, okay, I did cheat on you. I did lie to you. I did take all of this money, blah, 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 blah. What changes about your life? Mm-hmm. Nothing other than the fact that there were words that were said. And when you rely on things and you expect other people to do things, first of all, if you really break it down like that, like, hey, what's going to happen if you get what you think you really want out of this other person? Mm-hmm. It usually you'll realize like, wow, nothing's going to change in my life. But if you also, back to what you said a second ago, Del Rey, I finally was able to look at people. It took a lot of personal growth. But I got to the point where I started to look at these people who still had such anger and animosity and jealousy towards me that I felt sorry. I felt sorry for them, and not in a you're a loser way, but in a God, I want to help you get to a higher level in life where you can be happy and joyful and doing more, because that's where fulfillment comes in life. And that's when you're able to let the things that happen to you in life can roll off your back, because just as you said, I've got other things to do. I've got an impact I want to make on this world. I don't want to sit and ruminate mm-hmm. on what somebody thinks of my high heel shoes or my nails, or if my, you know, dress is too low cut for you. That's on you.
And I feel like that also comes from security. You know, the more secure in who you are, those things won't matter, because it's just your form of expressing yourself. And I think that's beautiful. I also, you know, have come from some challenging relationships in the past, and my choice to, I would say, take extreme ownership for my part in them is what allowed me to grow as a human, to be able to have the most healthy relationship I've ever had in my life. It's because I didn't want to repeat the pattern.
Thanks everybody for listening. This marks the end of part one of this interview with Dr. Del Rey Messer. Please be sure to keep tuning in to part two.